So now whenever there's criticism, we always talk about how we should see criticism positively or be humble. But what about those who give criticism? Yes. I have a 3-part seminar on cultivating a non-judgmental attitude. Now what happens is that somehow after we become devotees, we think that we know what is right, and therefore we think we have a right and responsibility to criticize. You know, I know what is right and that is wrong, and therefore I have to point it out. And we think it's my right to criticize, it's my responsibility to criticize. Now, you know, there's a major misunderstanding in this. Yes, if we know the right, we have a responsibility to tell what is, you know what is right, we have a responsibility to tell what is right. Now, here all along, first of all, we are assuming that we are right. Isn't it? Sometimes it may well be that we are criticizing someone because we are misunderstanding what they are doing. So it is always good to give other person the benefit of doubt. So if I am criticizing, if I feel this person is doing like this, why are they doing like this? You know, at that time, it is, what happens is, you know, based on our perception of a person, our opinion of a person, we ascribe certain intentions to their actions. That means if I don't like someone and I see them eating a lot, such a sense gratifier, such a glutton. If I like someone, I see them eating a lot, must have been hungry. So the action is the same, eating a lot, but based on our opinion, there's an entirely different attribution. So what happens? We may see some devotee doing something and we may criticize them. You know, why are they doing like this? But you know, when they're doing something, do we really know why they are doing like that? Sometimes they may have a completely different take on things which we are not aware of. So it's always good to give people the benefit of doubt. Instead of criticizing them, first seek clarification. You know, once I was at in Radha Gopinath temple, and I had come after there was a festival. The festival there was a feast. So I came down to the Prasadam hall for Prasad after I was talking with some people. And by the time I came down, I saw that the sweet was over. So I was feeling a little bad, I will not get any sweet. I was sitting down for Prasad, and then I saw one senior devotee sitting on the opposite side, and in his plate, I could see his sweet was there, and sweet had been finished. And then he was asking everyone, you know, do you have sweet? Do you have sweet? And I was thinking, you know, that, you know, what is it? You already had one helping. Normally we have sweet in limited quantity. And the devotees were telling, no, there is no sweet available. And one server said, there is no sweet. He said, second server, no, do you have some sweet? Do you have some sweet? He's asking everyone. I was feeling such an embarrassing thing. And then finally, one of the servers, they had made their own plate and they brought sweet from their plate to give to him. I thought, this is so shameless. You already had one helping and you're taking somebody else's helping. And then as that server was about to serve sweet in his plate, he told, no, not for me, for him. And he pointed to me. So he was asking for sweet for me. But I was thinking he was asking for second helping for himself. So, you know, when we see an action, we see somebody asking for sweet, we see the action and we think, attrition, oh, they want it for themselves. But they may be wanting it for someone else entirely. So, first thing is, even when we see somebody doing an action which seems odd, which seems objectionable, rather than immediately ascribing some wrong intention to it is best to give the benefit of doubt. And, you know, the difference between a judgmental devotee and a non-judgmental devotee is that a judgmental devotee talks about others. A non-judgmental devotee talks to others. You know, talks about others. We know, you know, he did like that. You know, she did like that. We tell the whole world, you know, what they did. We talk about others. But a non-judgmental devotee talks to others. Oh, Prabhu, Mataji, you know, I saw this. I couldn't understand what was happening with it. Can you please explain? Just go and clarify. So then, quite often we may find an explanation which will be very different. And the whole need for criticism will go away. So whenever we feel the urge to criticize, first thing is give the person the benefit of doubt and seek clarification. And that itself will avoid most of the criticism. Second is, now we come to the level where that person is wrong and we know they are wrong. And we, again, if we are wrong, you know, it is we have to check whether it is our responsibility to correct. So I'll talk about when it is not our responsibility, but suppose, assuming it is our responsibility. Now we are in a position of authority and then we have to correct. So even then, we have to know that there are two things. There is knowing what is the right thing to do, and second is feeling inspired to do the right thing. When we are correcting others, often we simply give the knowledge of what is the right thing to do. But when that knowledge comes off as a criticism, sounds as a judgmental thing, then they may further become discouraged. And they may just not feel like doing it. So when we are meant to, if we are to help others, we are meant to not only give the knowledge of what is the right thing, correctly pointing out the wrong thing, but also to give them the encouragement and the inspiration to do the right thing. There's a survey done at Wisconsin University in America. There's a group of writing students. There's a group of boys who thought that we all want to become good writers. So whatever we write, we will review and we'll all point the faults in what we have written. And by that, we will all improve. Then there was a group of girls. They said, we will do opposite of what the boys have done. They say, whatever we write, we will all point the good in what we have written. And then the researchers followed them after 10 years. And they found that this group of boys, not one of them had become a published author. And several of them, even writing a serious letter that would make them break sweat, they'll always be fearful. On the other hand, among the girls, three of them had become published authors. And all the other girls, they were known among their friend circle as good writers. So what happened? They got feedback, but the feedback was discouraging, and they just lost the desire to write. They just got so much fear of writing. Oh, I write something, it may be wrong. Better not write it. On the other hand, the girls got encouragement and they became good writers. So the point is, both did the same thing in a sense. Both wanted to improve their writing. But one focused on the right, the other focused on the wrong. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 16th chapter, that the godly people, the divine nature, their characteristic is apaishunam. Apaishunam means aversion to fault finding. That they don't like to find faults. They like to see the good in others. On the other hand, this is about the demoniac. What is their characteristic? Parushyamevacha. They like to speak harshly. They like to find faults in others. In fact, shato naishkrito naishkritiko lasaha. There are some people who think that their cleverness is seen in their expertise in insulting others. Now, I offer such a clever insult to that person. Well, I offer such a clever insult to that person. So they think I am so clever. But what is the result of that? If people become discouraged, and especially say if our boss in office criticizes us, we'll tolerate it. Because we need the job. But bhakti is a voluntary activity. If we criticize others, they may just give up the practice of bhakti. So when it is voluntary, we have to be all the more careful. So when criticism is to be given, we have to not only point out the fault, but point out the fault in a way that encourages people to do the right thing. So often I said we can use the sandwich formula. Sandwich formula means, that first appreciate the person, then point out a room for correction, then again appreciate the person. So basically, what should happen is, when there is criticism, the person should not feel rejected. If the person feels valued and accepted, and then I say, this is what you did was wrong, you can improve this. So if our normal mode of interaction with others is of criticism, whenever we see someone, oh, you're doing this wrong, then people become very discouraged. So, and if it is not our, if you are not in the position of authority to criticize others, then better don't speak anything. There are many things wrong in this world. Similarly, there are many things wrong in Krishna's movement also. Krishna's movement is like a hospital. In a hospital, different people have different sicknesses. You know, when we go to a hospital, we are not going to see who has got what sickness. And we are going there to cure our sickness. Similarly, we don't have to go in the devotee communities to see who is doing what wrong things. Yes, there are wrong things going on because we are all sick people. We have to focus on doing whether we are doing the right thing. Now, sometimes some people may be doing something wrong which just agitates our mind too much. See, somebody may be doing something which just disturbs us too much. Then maybe we can politely tell that devotee, or we can tell that senior, no, this is troubling me. And then we can get a proper understanding of that. But in general, we shouldn't think that if I have no relationship with that person, then if I am not in the position of authority, then to give correction, it may well alienate the person. Krishna says, in austerity of speech, the first is anudvega karamba. Speak in a way that does not agitate people's minds. So I would say that the only time when we can say that we are advanced enough to criticize others is when we get no pleasure in doing so. Sometimes, you know, I caught you doing wrong now. You think it's a great person? I'll show you how foolish you are. We may not be so graphic, but basically we get some pleasure in pointing out others' faults. And then if we're getting pleasure in pointing out others' faults, then that means it's our ego in action. And what happens? When the words come from our ego, they activate the other person's ego. When the words come from our heart, they reach their heart. So if we are motivated by genuine concern for their well-being, then we will choose the appropriate words, the appropriate tone, the appropriate forum. Usually, we never criticize in public. In private, one to one. It is a praise in public, criticize in private. So, like that, we will do the appropriate things by which we will touch their heart and inspire them to correct. So, yes, it is a very important responsibility that we speak sensitively. We speak sensitively. Otherwise, we can terribly hurt people. And then they become discouraged, they go away from Krishna. Then what have we done? We may have made a point. Oh, I proved that they were wrong and I was right. But what does it serve? You know, ultimately, our service to Krishna, our relationship with Krishna is not just dependent on how we are relating with Him on the altar. It's also dependent on how we are relating with others based on their relationship with Krishna. So, if our interactions with devotees are discouraging devotees, then that is going to hurt our relationship with Krishna also. And if we take the time, the thought, the sensitivity and speak properly to devotees, then that is going to positively affect our relationship with Krishna also. Krishna will be pleased. So it is a strong temptation in Kali Yuga both ways. First is that Kali Yuga, there are so many faults. Everybody has faults. So in that sense, to find faults and to speak faults it's so easy to do it. So externally there are many faults, and internally also we have a fault finding tendency. Because of that, the force can become very strong. At that time, if we can check that force by remembering that, whether my speaking this is serving the purpose. Now, often we have some standards, and those standards need to be maintained. But the standards can also be maintained in a way that we don't hurt people. And there are, okay, so we have to do deity worship in a particular way. Somebody is doing it the wrong way. We need to correct that person. It doesn't mean that we don't correct. But we correct in a way that people feel encouraged, not feel rejected or discouraged. So, you know, offering criticism is a very subtle skill. And those who are offering that criticism, they have to do it in a very mature, sensitive, well thought out way. Otherwise, we can just break people's hearts. And then we actually commit violence to people. Because we damage their spiritual prospects. So we think not just in terms of, you know, this is right, this is wrong, and I have to point it out. We should think that, you know, whether pointing this out is going to help this person come closer to Krishna or not. Whether I have the adhikar, whether I have the relationship, whether I have the position by which I can help this person come closer to Krishna. Now, if Prabhupada had been fault-finding, when he came to America, the hippies, their only regulative principle was to break all regulative principles. So, you know, if Prabhupada had been finding faults, he would not have been able to attract anyone. All the faults were there, but Prabhupada saw the good in them. He saw that they have a small spark of devotion. Prabhupada focused on that, fanned that. And that's how he was able to attract so many people. So we also should try to follow in his footsteps. Answer your question. Thank you. Hare Krishna.